hear for Curtis Thomason, all the way from Wisconsin.
Well, I've been looking forward to this for a long time. Many, many months ago, made contact with Kent, and looking forward to coming. When a person is going to speak in a church service, they have to pick a topic that they're going to speak on. And when you pick the topic, sometimes you might pick a topic that it might affect some people, but not other people. But I want to talk to you today about something that I know will impact every person. Everyone here, I can guarantee you, has dealt in the past with this and will deal in the future with it, and that's the topic of temptation. Has anybody here ever been tempted to do something you weren't supposed to do? Anybody? Okay, those of you that didn't put your hand up, we will pray for you later because then we'll talk to all the liars. We all deal with temptation, every one of us. And it's not like maybe you reach age 21 or 30 or something and say, and I'm never going to be tempted again. No matter who we are, we deal with the topic of temptation. And so what we're going to do today is look at several verses of Scripture, because the Bible is the place where we find the answers for life. We're going to look at several verses of Scripture that deal with the topic of temptation and how do we deal with it. And we're going to start in the book of James, James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15. And I believe that James chapter 1, verses 12 to 15 is an excellent passage that talks about the issue of temptation to understand it. It says, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. And remember, when you are tempted, not if you are tempted, but when you are tempted, when you are tempted, you are not being tempted of God. Do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. I've heard some people say, well, God is tempting me to sin to see if I'll do it or not. No, that's not God. He doesn't want you to sin. He doesn't want you to fail. He wants you to do what is right, so he will not tempt you to sin. Verse 14, temptation comes from our own desires. And I want to emphasize that to us here today to understand this from the beginning when we're talking about temptation. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. Verse 15, these desires give birth to sinful actions, and sin, when it is allowed to grow, gives birth to death. I want to reemphasize verses 14 and 15 for us to think about that. Temptation comes from our own desires. You have desires in your own heart. There are things that you want to do. One person will be drawn to this sin, another person will be drawn to another sin, but there are desires in your own heart, and they will entice you and drag you away. There is a desire that's in your heart, and it'll just kind of pull at you, and it'll wave at you and go, hello, come on over here, come on over here. And you know that the line of temptation is here, and it'll call you and say, just be near it. And then pretty soon you're going to step your feet over that line. That's what temptation is. It's those desires that just wants to pull you. And that's exactly what the Bible says. The desire from your own heart entices you and drags you away. And then verse 15 says, these desires give birth to sinful actions. So you're never tempted to do right. Satan will never tempt you to do what God tells you to do. God is calling you to do that. But the temptation is to pull you away. Now, what are you supposed to do when you're tempted? How do you overcome temptation? There's one word to remember that's very, very important. It's a really large word, and it's a very difficult English word. And if English is not your first language, you might have a tough time with it. But it starts with the word letter N and ends with the letter O. N-O. Pretend you're a two-year-old. No! You see, you've got to make a choice when you're tempted. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with it? And what we need to make the decision in our heart, because this says we're enticed by temptations from within us. We need to make that decision in our heart and make the decision beforehand that there's a line that you're not going to cross. There's a line that you're not going to cross. And so you are going to say, when you are tempted, I am going to say no. Because you see, one of the things we have to do with the issue of temptation, and that is we have to resist it. We have to resist it. It really looks good. If it didn't look good, it wouldn't be tempting. Okay, you don't know me, but I do not like spinach. Okay, if you like spinach, I'll pray for you and God will deliver you. I do not like spinach. It's green and it just sits there on the plate. I have never in my life been tempted to eat spinach. I have no desire for it. Now, let's talk about pizza. Yes. Amen. I have a sister-in-law that is a professional caterer. She prepares food professionally. A couple months ago was my birthday, and my wife threw a surprise birthday party because I turned years old. My sister-in-law brought me a coconut cream pie. Fresh made coconut cream pie. Oh, I love coconut cream pie. The interesting thing is I had been very sick. I was very sick this last summer. I had no appetite, no desire to eat food at all. She brought me that coconut cream pie and said, I think I got my appetite back. See, temptation pulls you to what you're attracted to, and it looks good. So temptation requires resisting. And what is resisting? Resisting is pushing it away and saying no. A couple of definitions of resisting. A conscious free will choice that we make not to do something. You have to make the specific choice when you are tempted to do something that you know is not right. You have to make that decision to say, no, I will not do it. It's an act of inner self-control. Now, I talked about food. Food and I have always been good friends. Very good friends. In fact, so much that after being married for 39 years, there was a lot of me that my wife was not legally married to. Some of you will get that. So this year, my wife and I made a decision. We need to work on that. And in the last 3 or 4 months, I've lost a lot of weight. I've lost a lot of weight. And I feel stronger and I feel better. And so it's a good thing. But what have I had to do? I've had to look at that pie and all those other good, fun things and say, no, I'm not going to just keep on eating and eating. I'm going to have to say no. I'm going to have to say no. Now, whatever you are tempted to do, whatever sin is you are tempted to do, there's got to be a matter of self-control with the help of God that says no. That says no. Oh, if I just do this little thing and I'll have a little fun tomorrow, and then tomorrow I'll ask God to forgive me. No. No, there has to be the help of God with the self-control to say no. Because you see, you inherited a sinful nature. I talked before about the two-year-old. Did anybody ever tell a group of two-year-olds how to be selfish and how to fight with each other and how to demand the toy that somebody else has? No, it comes naturally. Did anybody ever give you a lesson in how to tell a lie? No, it came naturally. It comes naturally. And so we've got to change that nature. I want to look at several passages of Scripture here today that talk about that. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 to 16. And it says this, "Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest which cannot sympathize with our weakness. I want to stop here for just a second to say, Jesus knows what you're going through. Hebrews 4 tells us this because it says, because he was tempted in all points as we are, yet without sin. When Jesus was here on this earth as a man, he was tempted to sin. The tempter came to him and said, come on, do this, do this, do this. He understands temptation. So then verse 16 tells us, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may find mercy and find grace to help in time of need. And so what does this tell us? It tells us that, first of all, Jesus understands temptation. Jesus understands temptation. Up till 5 years ago, I had never been in Europe. I'd read about Europe, heard a lot about it. I'd never been. This is now my fourth trip back here. And I've enjoyed being over here, and I've been able to do teaching in some different places and see some places. And this week, we'll get to some places I've never been, and I'm looking forward to that. Yesterday, I see you here, two friends from India. Yesterday in the class, two friends from India. I've never been to India. I don't know anything about India except what I've read. They could tell you because that's where they're from. Okay, what have you experienced in life? Where you've come from, what you've experienced, you can understand that. You can talk about that. What does this passage say? Jesus understands your temptation because he went through it when he was here on this earth. And so it says, come boldly with confidence to God to get help in time of need. Come without fear. God is not going to look at you when you come to him and say, God, I need help with this temptation. And he's not going to say, get away from me. You bother me. I'm busy. He's not going to say that. He is going to say, come on in. Let me help you. Let me give you strength. I know exactly what you're going through. I know exactly what you're going through. So as you face temptation, God is here to help you. A couple of things to share with you. Being tempted is not a sin. If being tempted was a sin, we would have no hope. Because we always deal with temptation. We all deal with temptation. But temptation turns into sin when you think about it, you linger, you hang on to that, and you think, oh my, I think maybe I should do that. No, I shouldn't, but I'll just think about it. That would be a lot of fun, wouldn't it? Oh, I think I'll do that. Oh, yeah. No, I better not do it. Better not do it. Oh, but I'm going to think about it. I'm going to look it up on the internet and look at the pictures of people doing that thing and how they're having fun doing that thing, but I'm not going to do it because I know it'd be wrong. Well, maybe if I just tried it just a little bit. Maybe if I just did it a little bit. I won't do it a lot, but just a little bit. See, that's how people get drawn into sin, the more they think about it. I heard somebody put it this way. You can't keep birds from flying over your head, but you can prevent them from building a nest in your hair. What's the application of that? You're going to be tempted, but when that temptation tries to land on you and stay in you and cause you to actually sin, you can say no. So if you're tempted, you are not sinning because you're being tempted. Romans chapter 5, verse 12 tells us, therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world and death through sin, and thus spread to all men because all have sinned. What is this saying? When Adam and Eve sinned, one person sinned, and then we've all inherited a sinful nature from there. It's the thought of, called the ripple effect. Now, early this morning, before the breeze picked up, This river here was very, very, very flat, very calm, very calm. And if you took a big rock and then threw it out in the middle of the river, it would hit and then there would be a ripple and a ripple and a ripple and a ripple and a ripple. And it'd keep going and spread out farther and farther and farther. And that's the thought of the ripple effect of sin. Adam and Eve sinned and never thought, oh, it's going to bother you. It bothers someone else. It's just what I want to do. And one of the things that Jesus wants us to understand is that if you sin, it's not just you, but it hurts somebody else. And then it affects somebody else. And then it affects somebody else. And so God wants us to stay as far away from the things of sin as possible. So our human nature, we have an inclination to sin. There's a passage in Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23. Mark chapter 7, verses 20 to 23, that talks about the issue of defiling a person. And it says, and he said, what comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For from within, out of the heart, from within, out of the heart. Proverbs chapter 4 talks about the heart, and out of the heart come the issues of life. And here he talks about out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetous, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these things come from within and defile a man. So what have we looked at here today? We've talked about the fact that sin comes from our temptation comes from our inner desires. And here he says that out of our heart comes this list of all of these sins. And they come out of a sinful heart and they bring defilement and they bring destruction. So we all face temptation because we live in the world. What's the world? Well, there's a globe that we live on called the earth. But we all face temptation because around us, no matter where we live, there is someone out there who's sinning and trying to say, come on in and do it with me. Come on in and do it with me. Let's go. Let's go fun. Have some fun. Let's go party. Let's do all of these things. We've got to be careful what we allow to come in through our eyes and through our ears. Because what we allow to come in will reside in our mind, it'll reside in our heart. And then that's when we start thinking about those things and try to get drawn into the things of sin. And so the enemy all around us is tempting. There's a great verse in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 15. 1 John, that's one of those little books way at the end of the New Testament. 1 John 2:15 that says, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So what is that saying? What do you love? What do you really love? Okay, we have different styles of things. There's different style of music. Somebody will say, I like this style of music. Somebody will say, I like this style of music. It's a matter of taste. I talked before. I don't like spinach. And there's people in our church who tell me, "Oh, you don't know what you're missing. Oh, you really need you. You know, somebody likes this kind of ice cream. Somebody likes this kind of pie. Somebody likes this kind of food. There's different styles. But there's a thing from the world that the world system promotes sin and sinful actions. And so, what does 1 John 2:15 say? It says, "Don't love the world." Don't love the things of the world, because if you truly have the love of God in you, you will not love those things. You will not love those things. You will love what God loves. And it's not that God is up in heaven and saying, I don't want you to have any fun. Several years ago, I had some surgery, and they came in and said, you got to change your diet till you recover from this surgery. And this is the list of the things that you can eat during this time. I looked at that thing from the nutritionist who came into the hospital. I said, this doesn't look like much fun. No, there was no spinach on that. God is not looking at you and saying, I want to take all the fun out of it. No, he's saying, this is what I give to you to set you free from the bondage of sin. And then if God is in your heart and you grow in love for God, you want to do that. You want to do that. It's a desire of your heart. You want to do that. And so he says, love God and not the things of the world. The tempter is a liar. In the Bible, it talks about Jesus was out in the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, fasting and praying. And it's a very interesting verse. It says, and afterwards he was hungry. You think? Hadn't had any food for 40 days, 40 nights. Think maybe he was a little hungry. And Satan came to him and tempted him with some things. And Satan said, if you're the Son of God, if, what? If you're the Son of God, Satan knew he was the Son of God. Jesus knew he was the Son of God. There was no doubt. But Satan tries to throw these things out at people. If you're the Son of God, command these stones to be made bread. Could Jesus have done that? No problem. I mean, he fed 5,000 people with one little boy's lunch. So if he could do that, he can do anything. That's not the problem. But Jesus was enticed to turn away from his mission to serve God. He was enticed to pull away. Now, let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, because I want to make sure that we can cover just a couple of things, a very practical application. The seminar that we're going to do this afternoon talks about applying the Bible in your life. I believe the Bible is very practical. And if we can't apply it, and if it doesn't help us in life, then let's quit and go home. But it is very, very practical, and it will help you. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 to 13. It tells us this: put on God's whole armor, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and deceits of the devil. One of the things that you need to know is that your spiritual enemy, who hates you, has all kinds of plans and programs and strategies to try to trick you. So God gives us a way to do it. He says, for we are not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against the despotisms, against the power, against the spiritual wicked rulers of this world, of this present darkness. So therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day, and having done all, to stand. God gives us spiritual armor. He gives us spiritual armor. One of the things we did yesterday was talk about being a student of the Bible. Every one of us needs to be a student of the Bible. We need to read the Bible and learn what it says so then we can apply it in our life. This is part of your armor. This is part of your armor, knowing what the Bible says. And this passage talks about armor. Talks about armor that we can put on. And so God gives us that armor so that we can stand, and having done all, to stand. Oh, but I have so much problem, and I just get knocked down. No, God gave you armor to stand. He gave you armor to stand up and to give you the strength to be able to stand. And when the enemy comes with all of those things shooting at you, he gives you a shield of faith. He gives you a breastplate of righteousness. He gives you all of these things, and it pushes back the temptation, and it pushes that back. Now, let me leave you with one other verse. I've got a lot of other stuff here, but let me leave you just with one other verse. 2 Timothy 2:22. 2 Timothy 2:22, it says this: flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Now, I want to demonstrate something here, and I want to be careful that I don't fall on something, and I don't want to fall on your feet here. Okay, what's the word? What's the first word of that verse? Flee. We're not talking about a little bug that gets on your dog and causes scratching. No, that's a flea, but that's a different flea. What does the word flee mean? Get away. Get out of there. Get out of there. I talked before about resisting. Here it says flee. Get as far away from the thoughts of sin as possible. I don't know what the deal is. Every time I go to the bar, I get drunk. I wonder why that is. Hello? I don't know what the deal is. Every time I turn on my computer, I go to the pornographic sweat websites. Hello? What does this verse say? If there is something that is tempting you and is dragging you down and is hurting you, get as far away from that as is possible. My wife does not like heights. She doesn't like heights. My brother and his wife are visiting with us here. They live up in the Amsterdam area. And he teaches at a school. It's part of the university there. And he took us out onto the 12th floor the other day. And there's an observation deck out on the 12th floor. There's this big solid wall that's this high. It's solid. It'll prevent you from falling over the edge. And it's nice to look out on the city. My wife went, the wall is here, she's back here. She's going, this is close enough to the edge of the wall. This is close enough. I can see real well from back here. And that's what God is trying to say. Don't just go looking to the edge of the wall and then all of a sudden you fall over. Get as far away from what's going to hurt you as is possible. That's what that verse says. Flee youthful lust. Flee those temptations. Flee those things. Get as far away from them as you can. Because if you continue finding yourself falling into temptation in a certain place, get out of there. Get out of there. Practical application of what the scripture says. Get as far away from that as you possibly can. And let's get as close to God as you can. Live in the presence of the Spirit of God. Stay close to God. Read your Bible. Pray. What kind of music do you listen to? Does it praise God or does it talk about sin? What do you read? What magazines do you read? What books do you read? What TV programs do you watch? All of these kind of things. Are all of these things causing you to get closer to God or are they causing you to want to fall into temptation? That's the practical application of getting as far away from sin as you can. Number one, it starts that you've asked Jesus Christ to come into your heart and to be your Savior and to forgive you. When you do that, He will change you on the inside and make you a new person. He will give you strength to be able to say no to sin and change your desires. And you will want to do what's right, and you won't be bored. You'll be saying, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Every Saturday night, I missed it last night because I'm about 4,000 miles away from home. But every Saturday night, I go to a prison and I preach. And I preach, I will have anywhere from 60 to 80 inmates in the service. And I get to preach and tell them about the love of Jesus. I get to talk with them. I've talked with hundreds of them face to face. And they talk about all the problems and all the struggles, and I'm sick and tired of the life that I'm living. Jesus will change that life. He'll change that. He'll change those desires. He'll make you new. He'll set you free. And then just every day you continue to say, Lord, I want to serve you today. Help me. If you struggle with temptation, here's a good prayer. Lord, when the temptation comes, let me be aware that it's coming. So then I can say no. I can say no. What do we want to do today? I want to give a chance for you. Maybe God has been speaking to your heart about something. Maybe you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart and you're going, man, I need to do that today because I need Jesus to come into my heart and to forgive me. I need that help. I'm not having victory over temptation. Maybe you've been a believer and you know you've got Jesus in your life, but you're struggling with temptation. There's nothing wrong with saying, I'm a Christian that has a struggle and I want to get closer to Jesus. Nobody's going to say, oh, you got a need? We all have needs. Jesus cares for you. He cares for you so much He went to the cross and He died. Lord Jesus, we just stop right now to pray. And Lord Jesus, I thank You for the great promises that You've given in Your Word, that You say that You will give us strength and You will give us help. I thank You, Lord God, for the promises in Your Word that say that You will change our hearts and make us new. And God, we give You the praise. Lord, I pray for each one who's here today. Lord, if there's those that say, I don't know Jesus, but I need to know Him. I need Him in my heart. God, I pray, speak into their hearts that they will respond and let somebody pray with them. that they will respond and say, yes, I need Jesus. Help me. Help me to have Jesus in my heart. Lord, there are people that deal with temptation. Lord, there's somebody here who has wrestled with some temptation, and it's been a struggle and it's been a difficulty in their life, and they're saying, how can I have that victory? How can I overcome that? And Lord, we know from your word that you give us the victory. Lord, we read in the scripture today that it says, come boldly to the throne of grace to get help in time of need. God, we come to you today. We come to you today, Lord God, to come boldly to your presence, to come boldly into your throne, that you will help us in time of need, that you will help us. And Lord Jesus, not only today, but tomorrow. You see, tomorrow is when we go back to work. It's when we go back to school. It's when we go to the store. It's when we meet with our friends. It's when we get back into the normal routine of life and the temptation comes to draw us into something. God, I pray that tomorrow we will stop and think and realize, I only want to honor God. I only want to praise God. I only want to glorify God in my life. Lord, give me strength. Give me strength. Give me strength to say yes to you and no to temptation. And Lord, every day as we grow stronger in you, we'll have greater victory. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for the great gifts that you give. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. Praise God. Praise you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God.